WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. John Bristol is the founder, creative director, and lead puppet maker for Elmwood Productions, an exciting production company that creates innovative and original programming featuring puppets. Their film, Head, was a multi-award-winning horror film. Their successful web series, The Risley Brothers, aired in 2017. On January 1st, 2018, a new series entitled Animal Behavior will air online on Elmwood's Vimeo VHX site. We'll discuss the program, the world of Elmwood Productions, and so much more. We hope you enjoy our chat with John Bristol here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, John Bristol.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you here. I enjoy your work, and I enjoyed interviewing you right before the movie Head came out.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to interview you, and I wrote this particular article called Bristol's Connecticut.
Yeah, that was great.
Which it was such a fantastic experience for me. I was able to learn about the world of Elmwood Productions at that time. And you were very generous with your time. You shared, the world of puppet making and everything. And that was a great written article. And when I had this radio program, you were one of the first people that I reached out to.
I remember,
And then just due to timing, it didn't work out until now. And now's the perfect time because you've got animal behavior coming out
in January. Yeah, it was funny. I was thinking about that in the drive here today. The interview that we did. And it dawned upon me it'll be 4 years ago in March.
That's incredible.
Like time has just flown. Three years ago. We shot Head in 2014, so it's been 3 years since the film premiered. Almost, it's just unbelievable how much has gone on. Yeah,
well,
including Animal Behavior. Yeah,
having the opportunity to watch your work from the 2017 work of the Risley Brothers, I can see that there's a maturity there. There is a level of filmmaking and expertise that really elevates the game. And I'm wondering, Animal Behavior, that's going to do the exact same thing for 2018, right?
I honestly think it goes a little further. We have this gentleman that works with us named Rick Passmore. I was trying to get him to come with me today, but he's flying out to Ohio, so he couldn't make it. But he's been our lead cinematographer since we started shooting Head. And he actually directed most of Risley, and he directed most of Animal Behavior. And he's just, I did a lot of the directing before that, but you know your strengths. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely better than me at it. He shot Head, and he was like second unit directing and assistant directing through it. So when Risley Brothers came up, it was just made sense for him to step in and do that and really show his flair. And he did such a great job with it. Like, I got to give him a lot of credit for that. I can't take all the credit. I wrote most of the series and made most of the puppets, but he really made it look good.
Well, we've talked about three different properties. Let's start with Head first, because what made Head so unusual, and first of all, I want to mark this, it was multi-award winning at different film festivals.
Yeah, all over the world, which blew us away. Yeah,
it wasn't just this one festival you sent to and you happen to win something.
Right.
This was at multiple festivals. You won multiple different awards.
Yeah.
So now, looking at the poster for Head, it had
all those laurels, is what they're called.
All the laurels of all the awards.
Every festival we submitted to, except I think one, accepted the show, which was really cool. And the one that didn't accept was a Connecticut-based festival, so we got a kick out of that. But we got accepted too, which was really cool. And then everyone we got a nomination in, we won. So it was just like, holy cow, huge pat on the back for that whole crew. And we got a lot of awards for our cast, for our special effects. We got a jury's choice for best film. And going back to Ricky again, one thing we didn't get was best director, and I directed that. So it was kind of funny. It was like, all right, well, maybe we'll let Ricky direct from here, because the one thing that wasn't even nominated was best director. And I'm humble and think that's really funny. I'm glad the cast got recognized. I'm glad the special effects team got recognized. And I'm glad, as a whole, the film got recognized, though.
How large is the team? If you could describe it for our listeners, how big is the team that is assembled together to create a movie such as Head?
With Head, we had, I would say, a total of about 20 people. We do things really low budget on purpose. We always joke around, write what you can afford.
Yeah, right.
Because we joke around that we make our movies on beer money. You know, we take the extra money we have from whatever else we're doing, and we make these movies, and we make this business run that way. We did do a Kickstarter for that to get some completion funds, which was helpful, and that money continues to be used through Head or through Risley Brothers and Animal Behavior. But the crew we had, I'd say, for Head, about 20 people, and that much of that same crew followed into the Risley Brothers short film. And then by the time we started the series, about a year later, we had evolved, and some people had come and gone. It happens to every project. You'd bring people in for a project, they don't stick around. That's fine. We we're always an evolving team. As a whole, Elmwood, there's a, probably a core, like as far as business, puppetry, writers, 10 of us. And then there's another 10 that come in on specific projects.
One thing for people to consider just about Head is the idea that you're actually just watching a horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it happens to be puppets. Featuring puppets.
Yeah.
But it's not a Muppet or Sesame Street or any other type of thing.
It's very R-rated, yeah.
You're watching a horror film, and it just so happens to be puppets,
right.
And that gives it a different tone.
Yeah, I wrote it as a straight horror film when I
wrote
the first draft.
Yeah.
I never intended it to be for puppets, actually. It was something I was going to try and sell, make some money for Elmwood to make another project. And after sitting on the script for a couple of years, it was one of those things where I ended up liking it more and more. A couple of buddies came in and did additional drafts on it to help out. And they gave it a little more spice and popped it up a little bit. But we just wanted to make the most cliched 70s throwback horror movie we could. Then we started casting it because we decided we wanted to do it. And the casting wasn't working out. We couldn't find anybody that really fit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our crew guys named Russ, he's also one of the puppeteers in the film. He was just like, why don't we just do it with puppets? It's what we already known for, you know, like just play it completely straight though. And I think that's what makes it so unique.
That's what makes it straight, right?
There's a couple other horror films out there that feature puppets, but they play it as a puppetry is part of the story, or it's just a gag, you know, it's just kind of, even like things like Chucky, you know, he's just the villain because he's a living creature, but it's not just a story because anybody could have played these parts. We just chose to do it with puppets.
Instead
of puppetry isn't a genre. It's a phrase I always use. Puppetry is a medium for telling a story. So why not do every genre with puppets? That's kind of what we're trying to do. Like, Head was the horror film. Animal Behavior is the family comedy. Risley Brothers is a sitcom, really.
It's very much
a sitcom. And we're looking to maybe do a romantic comedy and an action film. And we kind of want to touch on a gangster film, like hit every genre, but do it with puppets. And it started really with Head. I mean, Steve the Vampire was out before. We had another feature film called Josh and Todd. Those were pretty straightforward comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So we were already known for being funny. And there are funny moments in horror movies, which was good. And I think they translate even funnier with puppets.
Take us back to the impetus of when you first found and discovered puppets and you said,
oh, wow.
Hey, this is something that I love. You know, was it when you were a child?
My earliest memories are watching Sesame Street and the Muppet Show. I think the Muppet Show premiered in 76. I was a year old. So, you know, so I grew up with that and had an obsession of watching those characters and anything puppetry that would come on TV or nearby that we could go to, wanted to see it all. And I can remember vividly, it was the year the Muppet movie came out. I was 4 years old. That was 1979. And my dad took me and my brother to see the film. And in that movie theater, it hit me that somebody gets paid to do this. This is somebody's job.
Yeah.
Like, I went to the movie theater. We just gave money to see this movie. Somebody does this for a living. And that was when I was like, I would love to find out more about that. And my parents were really supportive. And I went in different directions over the years. I sang in bands. I wanted to be a cartoonist. It all led itself back to the puppetry thing, though. And in my late teens, early 20s, it really hit home. Something just hit me one day. I was already doing cartooning, wanted to make some of those characters into a film. I joked around, me and my friends weren't good enough to be in movies, good enough looking to be in movies, so we can't play these parts. Why not do it with puppets? Because I already love puppets. And my friend Pete, we call him Tricky, he's actually a character in Risley Brothers too, but he's been friends with me since we were like in fifth grade. He was there and we were just talking about it, and it was just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's just try this out. And that was probably 1998. And here we are now, still doing it. You know?
What was the first puppet that you created that you... maybe not the first puppet that you created, but the first puppet that you created that you saw, hey, this is taking on a professional level. This is
It was, we had been doing it for a few years. We were making this like cable access type series called It's Late Enough with Plank, which we then turned into a live show as well, about like a late night talk show with puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those puppets were really, I was learning how to build at that point, but some of them really stood out. The lead character, his name was Plank. He really stood out. It was a very basic design, just a round head, two eyes. Nothing fancy, no hair, no ears, no nose. But it was attention getting. And then there was two other characters in that show that were called Todd, who was a big furry monster, and this other character named Johnny Sojive, who was just weird stapler head, like shaped like a stapler and crazy eyes. And those three characters were really, as far as like quality of character, they were taking on their own life and something interesting. And then Todd and Johnny got rebuilt for the movie Josh and Todd, and I made much better puppets. And that was when I was then around then is when I was like, all right, we're going to go to the next level. Like, and even a little bit before that, we made a character named Steve the Vampire, had his own web series.
Yes.
When I first built Steve, I was like, wait a minute. I felt like I was finally a professional puppet maker. Like when he was done, and he was a goof. It was never meant to go anywhere. And then we made like 12 or 13 episodes of a series with him. It was meant to be a one-off joke, but people loved it. But that puppet really helped it stand out in a
As
way.
we go to our first break, I just wanted to mention that, of the many different shows that we've talked about Head, we've talked about Risley Brothers just a little bit. We're going to jump into that a little bit more,
Excellent.
and then we're going to talk about Animal Behavior
All
because
right.
this is the big show that's
The
coming
new
out
one. Yeah.
January 1st, 2018. So we're going to talk about that and so much more. We come back here with John Bristol on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is John Bristol. He is the lead puppeteer, the founder and creative director of Elmwood Productions. They feature puppets and within their programming and in many different genres. We talked about Head, which is a horror film. The Risley Brothers, let's talk about that next. That has a very sitcom feel, kind of a almost a Cheers quality without being Cheers itself. Tell me about the inspiration for Risley Brothers.
It was actually a friend of mine was a bartending at a little bar in Plantsville called Kes Cafe, and we were always joking around about doing a film about the crazy people that would work there and came in there, and it just never came to be, but we started writing ideas down, and it was we were just changing up some names and things like that, of course, to protect the guilty and the innocent.
Sure.
And then it just kind of just floundered away. It was something that never really got developed. And then a couple of years later, I went back to some of those ideas. I thought it'd be funny to do something with it. And at first, it was going to be a movie. And then we changed the name from Kes, because we were going to call it the Kes Brothers, to the Risley Brothers, which is actually my mother's maiden name. So we changed it to that because it just had a little more kick to it. And just went from there, just kind of writing like a day in the life of a bar. So I wrote the short film. And it was really just based on conversations that I'd had or I'd seen have or seen go on. In a bar setting or in a coffee shop setting, either one
Sure.
would have worked. We just went with the bar because it was just more fun. And we always pitched the show as Cheers on the Muppets. Like if the Muppets starred in Cheers, that was the best way to explain it. Because it still had that kind of adult sensibility,
Right.
like with some of the humor, but it was still puppets. So you can get away with some weirder things too. And I mean, some of the characters, like the character Schmutzy is such a bizarre character. I think an actor was playing that, you'd just be turned off by it. But the puppet is so strange looking and so unique and so endearing because you realize he is just the nicest guy in the world. And a lot of that credit goes to Mike, the puppeteer, but it's just the inspiration was really just real life.
For the people who may would see the, and I'll share an image of the show,
Excellent.
so that way people can see it and kind of have an idea of it. How was the set built, and where was the
The
set?
set was built in Plainville at a place called WRF Designs. They're actually a carousel restoration facility, carousel horse restoration facility, and they had a couple extra rooms, and one of their main people there, Gabe, is one of our puppeteers and one of our creative guys, and he did a lot of the special effects for Head. And they had this room that they weren't using really. They used kind of a break room, and it would look, we figured we'd maybe set up a set there. They agreed. And fortunately, they also already had a pre-built bar, the owner of the facility, in his basement. They didn't want his basement anymore. So he's like, I'll put it in there, and there's your bar. You don't have to build a bar. So there we put this bar in this room, and the room was no bigger than really the room we're in right now. It was a small, maybe a little longer, but it was a small, maybe 400, 300 square feet, small spot. And the bar was in one corner, and the only thing we didn't do that we should have done is we should have raised it up higher so we wouldn't be crouching so much on the ground. We could have sat up straighter or even stood, but we didn't think of that when we were just excited to have a free bar in there. We didn't have to build it.
Absolutely, yes.
So they put it in, they bolted it to the ground, and so. Really, it was this pre-made room. We didn't even paint it. We left it the colors it was. It had that slat wall look. It looked kind of like old, and we just decorated it. And we were lucky. We called a lot of the local breweries and liquor companies, and asked them if, can you give us a poster, a tap handle, like things that will, so your name will show up on the screen, and then we'll promote you. And pretty much everyone that we talked to jumped in on that. So it looked like a real bar. There weren't any fake names on the walls. Even Avery Soda.
Right.
And New Britain, they gave us a sign and a couple cases of soda to use. So we just promised everybody we'd try to name drop them once, but we promised our logos would appear on screen, and they were great about it. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. Even one of the characters I play, Quigley, he always orders the same drink every single time. It's one of my favorite beers. And when they said yes, I was like, oh man, my character's only going to drink that now. And they gave us a ton of free beer, you know, and we were just like, well, we don't need the free beer and everything. Like, no, it has to look real on camera though. And that's a good point, because we were just going to make food colored water and things like that. But all the distributors were like, no, we want it to look real. So the set was just really homemade, you know, like we were lucky to have that bar, and we went from there, you know.
That's incredible. And in terms of, what did you learn from the experience of filming an entire series like that in what is essentially a professional set? I mean, it was an actual bar.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that experience?
One thing we learned is a little more set design would be helpful. If we had brought the bar in there ourselves to put it up, we would have put it up on boxes or stilts or something to make it taller, so the puppeteers wouldn't have to be on the ground. We sat on the ground the whole show. You know, normally you'd stand up and the sets are all raised up higher, so the puppets look like they're at a normal height, but we're actually underneath them. So we learned, you know, next time we'll build the set ourselves. We won't have somebody else set that part up. That was the big thing we learned. And I guess just space, use of space. A lot of times we've done a lot of stuff outdoors or in pre-existing, like, rooms. Like, you look at Josh and Todd, the apartment took place in was my apartment. You know, so we built the room to look like his apartment, and then I just didn't use that room, which was fine, other than the watch TV. But the living room was their character's living room, and it was easy to shoot in that because it was this big space and a little different. I don't know. It's just we learned a little more prep work as far as the set building.
And now, how does that translate to the new show, which is Animal Behavior? Yeah. Animal Behavior is family friendly.
It is. It's our first truly family friendly thing. I would say Steve the Vampire was pretty clean. You know, there's a couple colorful words in there, but nothing too harsh. Any 9-year-old has probably heard worse already, you know, in a Transformers movie. Mm-hmm. So but Animal Behavior, we call it's G, maybe PG. It's definitely not like saccharine sweet. So it's not something parents are going to watch and go, oh God, Barney. You know, it's still. The humor is still kind of Elmwoody. It's still, some of the jokes are a little out there. Kids are going to go right over a kid's head, which is the point, but it's aimed more at kids. It's an adventure story about two cats who are essentially trying to kill their owner. Very Looney Tunes, you know, trying to do away with him so they can live with his girlfriend because they like her better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not realizing that if they're just nice to her, maybe she'll stick around more. But they're cats. They cause mayhem, and that's the gist of the story. And then throughout the story, they learn, oh, we don't really need to get rid of this guy, you know. And so, and it's loosely based on my life. Like, the lead character of the human looks like me, and the girlfriend looks like my wife, and the cats are based on two cats I had. And so,
and were they trying to get rid of you?
Well, it all came from an actual thing. When I first started seeing the woman that's now my wife, one of my cats one day just got up, sat on her lap, and just purred away and everything. I went to pet him, and this is like the most gentle cat in the world, wouldn't hurt anything unless it's playing. I went to pet him, and I startled him, and he swiped at me. Like, and he'd never done that, like, other than us were playing. But I just, because I scared him, and I made a joke that, oh, he likes you more than me, he's trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, I'm like, that would be a funny puppet show. You know, a funny movie or something. But, like, that's a great, very Looney Tunes type thing, too. Like, very Bugs Bunny, like, Wile E. Coyote type humor, where they're, like, hitting him with frying pans for trying to kill him. And things like, all those, like, goofy things you see in those old cartoons. So I ended up going by Buddy Pete and saying, what do you think of that idea? That guy's been with me off, you know, pretty much forever. And he was like, dude, that's great, because cats would never try and kill anybody. They're pretty much just walking furniture. And I'm like, that's like one of the first lines in the first episode, because it was like, he's not trying to kill you. Just, cats are like walking furniture. And we used it in the show, because I'm like, that was perfect way to set it up. And then it cuts to the cat looking like, giving him the dirty look while he's cleaning himself, you know? So it worked out really good. And so I guess what we learned from Risley going to Animal Behavior was just take your time setting up the shots a little bit more.
Yeah.
Again, we shot in a real place. We shot the whole show. Almost the whole show, all the interiors at my house. I just moved in over the past year, so we had this opportunity of like a clean slate of a place to shoot. And we'd actually shot this whole show once before and never released it. We shot it 4 years ago and edited it and did a couple screenings. And we were just something, we needed something else. We weren't sure what it needed.
Mm-hmm.
The audio wasn't right. We didn't have music on it for the screenings we did. We had we used P-Funk music, old George Clinton songs and all that, just for temporary music. So but something wasn't right about it. So going in and reshooting it, we knew.
You knew the story.
It's like we made a whole living storyboard. a live storyboard for the new one, and we just made it better. And we rewrote a couple of the episodes, like bulked them up a little bit, made some new jokes. And we brought in different puppeteers. We used some different people on this one. And overall, it was just the next level of better. Like everything. And we weren't going to reshoot it. It was earlier this year. We were dubbing another short. We had to add some dialogue to a short film we'd made that we haven't released yet. It comes out this month, though, called Christmas Wishes. It's a Christmas horror short, like a 5-minute horror thing. But we were doing some dubbing for that. And I was on my way there with Mike, who's one of our puppeteers. And he plays Ripper in Animal Behavior, one of the lead cats. And we were talking about, we're just going to redub the whole thing, fix the whole audio, and that'll be fine. It'll be great. We'll get the music on it. It'll be done. And I just, in passing, was like, maybe we should just reshoot the whole thing. Because we're better now than we were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Why would we want to put something out that doesn't look as good after we put out Risley Brothers in Head, and then put something out that's kind of...
A step back.
Step back. I mean, even if we say, hey, this was shot a few years ago, here it is, you know, it still would be kind of, eh. So when we got to the dubbing, Mike was all about it. He's like, yeah, it can only get better. I went to Ricky, who was our principal director and everything, and he was doing the dubbing for the Christmas Wishes short. And I was like, what do you think of this idea? And if he had said no, then that would have been it. Like, we're kind of, all right, let's just put it out there, finish it and put it out. And he was like, well, yeah, same thing. Like, we should, actually. It's a really great idea of a show. Why not make it look better? So we reshot the whole thing. So it was like, and it's so much better. It's so cool. It's so much fun. I'm really excited about it.
How many episodes and where can people find this?
Okay, that one's 10 episodes. No, it's 12 episodes. It was originally 10. We added two more as we were doing the new version.
Nice.
So it's 10 episodes, and it will be on elmwood.vhx, like Xbox Aspire, elmwood.vhx.tv. Excellent. It's a download website. Yep.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Animal Behavior. We're going to talk about Elmwood Productions as a whole and what's the future for 2018. So we'll be back in just a few moments here with John Bristol on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here in studio in WAPJ Studios in Torrington, Connecticut. I'm speaking with John Bristol. John Bristol is the lead puppeteer, the creative director of and founder of Elmwood Productions. We've been talking about the different shows, the different series and films, whether it's Head, which was a multi-award-winning horror film, and the Risley Brothers, which was a straight sitcom, which was released in 2017, and now the upcoming Animal Behavior, which is this newly improved program, the series that brings their original creation to another level in terms of sophistication, in terms of story, in terms of filmmaking, which is fantastic.
It's nice when you can do something like that. You know, you can look at it, and a few people have seen the original because we did do three screenings of it. Mm-hmm. So some people had seen it, and but not enough that I think people are going to be in an uproar because there's a different version coming out, and it's a better version. It's not like we made a Spider-Man movie and 4 years later made a new one with a different cast. No, we sat on it. It wasn't out there for the public consumption, which was good. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to have this one out there. I think so far it's everything we've done coming from Head forward has been my favorite thing. Like, Head was my favorite thing we ever did. Then Risley Brothers is my favorite thing we ever did. Now Animal Behavior is my favorite thing we ever did. So it's like, I'm glad we're topping ourselves, and the quality just keeps getting better. And the crew is great.
In terms of, there are probably people out there who are puppeteers or who want to be puppeteers or who want to get involved. Is Elmwood Productions the type of production company that takes on new people or
Absolutely.
Works with new people who want to?
We always joke around, if you're willing to try it out, we're willing to try you out. You know, we've had people who have had no puppet experience come in and then be a lead in a show. You know, we've had people who just want to come and work on one specific project with us, and that's because they hear about what we're doing, or they come in an audition and they're happy doing that one project. We've had people come in to do one thing and they've stuck around for the whole time. I mean, our door is open. We're very, very, very open to that. I mean, if anybody listening wants to, you can message us on our website or Facebook. We'll reply. We're pretty good about that.
And although we'll get to that at the end, you can put it in here right now. In terms of your website, your website is?
ElmwoodProductions.com. Nice and simple. Yeah.
That makes it very simple. That's right.
It's we're rebuilding it right now, but it's all still there, which is great. So there'll be a new website popping up with just some new design look in January.
And you're also on Facebook as
well. We are, yeah. If you just type in No More Productions on Facebook, I think we're the only one there, which is good.
Perfect.
Which is great, yeah.
So in terms of the ideas, mm-hmm. now, you are the person who has a vision within the stories. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Although you do work with others.
Right.
And I'm sure it's a collaborative effort.
Right now, it's getting more and more collaborative with the writing, which makes me very happy. I love writing, but I love having other writers write. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, even with Risley Brothers, I wrote a good chunk of the series. I plotted them out with a guy named Paul Denio, who actually played Wes in the series. Him and I plotted out most of the episodes. And then I went back and wrote them, and then one episode... I think there was only one episode I didn't write. It was written by a Torrington native, actually, named Rick Corbo. And he plays a couple characters in the show. He also worked heavily on animal behavior as well. So it's nice to have other people come in and write and have ideas. And animal behavior, though, I wrote everything except for the first episode, which I gave Pete writing credit for that one line. The cats are furniture. You know, so like, but it's nice now to have a more collaborative thing going on with the writing. We're working on some scripts right now for next year where there's four of us actually in like a room together working on them together.
A writer's room.
A writer's room, essentially. Yeah, we're each taking turns on different episodes. So it's going to be a series. So you'll take that episode, I'll take this one, and then we're going to get together when they're done and fine-tune them all together, which is really exciting.
Is it a new series?
It is.
Based on any of the other existing material, or is it
It's going to tie a few things together that we've already done, actually, which is kind of cool. With Head, we wanted to expand that universe a little bit because it did so well. So this is going to kind of tie in with Head, but not be a sequel or a prequel or anything like that. But it's going to take place in that same world of Head. And Steve the Vampire is going to make an appearance in an episode because it's horror-themed. We thought it'd be fun to do a little humor in mm-hmm. that and have Steve appear. So I'm not like giving any big secrets away, so that's kind of nice. And that may lead into a follow-up film or even a Head sequel someday.
I was wondering if you will revisit any of your prior material,
yeah.
whether it's Risley Brothers Season 2 or Animal Behavior Season 2 or
yeah.
Head 2. Or
yeah, all
like
of the above, I think we're gonna start looking into. I know we've got ideas for a second run of Risley episodes, but instead of maybe 10 episodes, we might just do 6 mm-hmm. and make them a little longer. Just mix it up a little bit. Same
sure.
thing with Steve the Vampire. We want to bring him back for more episodes because we haven't touched him in 5 years now, so it'd be fun. People always ask about that character more than anybody else. When are you going to do something with Steve? So... here you go if you're listening. We're going to do something more with Steve. It's going to come next year. And Animal Behavior, we definitely have another 6 to 10 episodes that I already have in mind to shoot and write. And it'll be cool because this first series had a storyline that kind of went from A to Z. Like you saw the
sure.
alphabet happen of the character development. The second series will be more episodic, more because they're not trying to kill their owner anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be more their adventures and doing other things, a little more... zany, in fact, I think. So that'd be fun.
Fantastic.
So we definitely want to go back and look. And Risley, like I think I already said that we want to do more with them, too. So they're great characters.
Well, for people to find out more information about Elmwood Productions, as we wrap up, I just want to give the opportunity
yeah.
for you to share, again, the contact information, the place where people can go, where they can learn more,
yeah.
see some... I highly recommend that you see some of the footage
Thank
that
you.
Is available and also the photos of the puppets because they're incredible.
Thank you.
So please share your information.
Well, primarily elmwoodproductions.com. You know, if you want to reach out to us, there's a couple links there to email us directly. Facebook, I think it's just if you go facebook.com/elmwoodproductions, we come right up or just type in Elmwood Productions in the search. We have a blog, elmwoodproductions.blogspot.com. We have Twitter, Instagram. We do all those things. They're all linked on our main website, the .com. And I mean, really, if you do want to reach out, if you're interested, take a look at us online and reach out. And then, of course, to watch our stuff, we're on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If you just search at Elmwood Productions on YouTube, it comes right up. And then the VHX page, which is, you know, all of our shorts, our series are almost all on there. Our films are on there. Head is not on there right now, but that's a whole other thing. Head is, it's getting picked up for distribution next year by another distributor. So we had to pull it off the internet. And next year, you'll be able to find that on things like Amazon and things like that, which is
That's
really
incredible.
Cool. I can't say who yet or exactly when,
That's
but
okay.
it's kind of a big deal. So so you can't find Head anywhere online. So if you have one of those DVDs that you bought at one of the events, it's a collector's item.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, and then the VHX page, though, with everything else, it's elmwood.vhx.tv.
Thank you, John Bristol, for coming in. Talk to us
Thank
about
you for having me.
Elmwood Productions and Animal Behavior, which is going to be released on January 1st, 2018.
Thank you.
So more power to Elmwood Productions. I look forward to seeing all of the productions in the future. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for more quality programming on WAPJ. We hope you enjoyed the chat.